views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio, harnessing our connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Are you looking for direction with your relationships, business, purpose, or simply life? Well, you're at the right place. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, gifted others, but mostly you. Get ready for a slice of life's journey, Eve's objective guidance, tarot, readings, and the momentum you need to move beyond whatever crossroad you're stuck at. Now here's your amazing host, Eve.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio, harnessing the power of the universe for happier living. Good morning, West Coast. Good afternoon, East Coast. And good day, Australia. My name is Eve, the MBA psychic from Elite Tarot. So psyched about our guest today, as we're talking about something that we all do, yet really don't fully understand, and that is dreaming. Thank you, Benny, for engineering this high-speed train, and thank you one and all for tuning in. In just a bit, I'll be bringing on my guest, author and clinical psychologist Edward Bruce Bynum, to talk about his new book, which I find fascinating, called The Dream Life of Families, The Psycho-Spiritual Connection. In the second half of the show, I'll be doing a one-card tarot card reading for callers and then turning it over to my guest for his unique insight and perspective. If you're interested in a reading, give us a call at 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819. If you're feeling stressed, disconnected from your life's purpose, at a crossroads, trying to bring healthy love into your life, we can look at it all through the lens of the tarot. Also, if you have situations that involve dreams that you would like to share to get some additional expert guidance, please feel free to call in. But as always, please wait at least 3 weeks between readings if you've had a reading for me already, just to honor the universal energy that's been put forth for your reading so the messages do not become redundant and superfluous. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. Just a brief bit about who I am and my approach. I'm an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader who works with clients around the world in helping them tap into their own power to affect change for optimal success and happiness. It's my belief that we are all surrounded by energy, and what can happen is that with career, love, or finding your purpose of passion, we sometimes, even with the best of intent, find ourselves blocked with no movement forward. It's almost as if you're pushing against the wind, which can be taxing to the body, mind, and spirit, which can lead to frustration, stress, and the feeling of working twice as hard, but only getting half as far. Through my work, I help clients with their own power move that energy to their back, so now they're only working half as hard, but getting twice as far. By doing this, they're using energy effectively. I kind of liken myself to a vocal coach. It's not my role, whether you sing opera, pop, Broadway, or country. I just want you with your glorious voice to use your instrument effectively. Last year, I was featured in the book Top 50 Psychics and Mediums in the United States, which was such an incredible honor. If you're interested in scheduling a session or inquiring about an event that you're hosting, you can find me at Elite Tarot, which is ElitetarotT.com, or MainstreamMetaphysicsRadio.com. I always like to come up with a tarot card that talks to the theme of the show. And let me tell you, I didn't have to look hard to find a card that talks to dreaming. And that's the Nine of Swords. In this card, you see a person in bed after having been woken up by a nightmare in the form of nine swords over his head. When this card comes up in a reading, it can be very literal, as someone is dealing with either recurring dreams, which are scary, or just up at night with worries galore. If the situation is about dealing with worries, we often talk on this show about how separating out worries from that which have been proven true, from that which is not and out of your power, in a way to minimize the late night waking effects of worries. However, if on the other hand, the reason for this card's appearance in a reading is due to energy flowing through the dream in the form of scary images or message dreams that can be uncomfortable, I always encourage people to have a notebook by the bed so you can write down the dream as soon as you wake up before it disappears from your mind. This way you can explore it under the light of the daytime to see if there's a message for you, perhaps from a loved one who has passed over, a warning about something you're engaging in, or just ways your unconscious is wrestling with comprehension of a situation taking place in your life. Don't be afraid to engage with the dream. Know that what may feel like something scary may actually be energy unfiltered, worth a second look under the light of day. Rather than fear your dreams, see them as a launching pad for greater self-understanding. Let me introduce and bring on my guest who can talk about this a lot better than I can. And believe me, I have got a lot of questions for him. Edward Bruce Bynum is a clinical psychologist and former director of the Behavioral Medicine Program at the University of Massachusetts Health Services. He's the author of several books, including Dark Light Consciousness and his most recent book, which we're talking about today, called The Dream Life of Families. Dr. Bynum is currently in private practice at the Brain Analysis and Neurodevelopment Center in Hadley, Massachusetts. Welcome, Dr. Bynum, to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio.
Well, great to be here. Great to be here.
Oh, I am so happy you are here because this is something that we all experience, and we all experience it in such a different way. I know for myself, from the time, like as far back as I can remember, I had tremendously scary dreams. But in the morning, you know, if I looked at them, it's like, well, there really wasn't anything scary. And I'd have visiting dreams and foretelling dreams, or as you might call them, crisis telepathy dreams. And so I know that I am not alone. And so I'd love to kind of dive into what is this? But first, you know, how did you write this book? What led you to do this?
Well, like you and you know, the overwhelming majority of folks listening right now have always been very interested in my dreams. As a child, you know, dreams were like going to the movies, except there was a movie about me as opposed to a movie about other people, you know. And I just stayed fascinated with it. And then when I got to college, you know, I was able to start studying my dreams a little bit more and keeping notebooks and stuff. And then when I got to graduate school, I had to choose areas that I was going to, like, seriously study. And so dreaming was one of those areas I seriously studied. But it wasn't until I was on one of my internships that I got a chance to start a really scientific clinical study of dreams. I was at this hospital, this private psychiatric hospital in Connecticut, and the hospital specialized in, of all things, family therapy. So there would be families that would come in, the whole family would come in, and we'd be involved in family therapy sessions, sometimes individual sessions, but also definitely family therapy sessions. And we also had some sessions at night where we had five or more families all together in a room. And during those times, I started noticing some unusual, sometimes eerie, but always very fascinating correspondences between families. You know, sometimes families would share the same emotional complication, of course, but sometimes they shared the same physical illnesses. Yes, within families, you very often have the same physical illnesses. And then I started wondering, well, I wonder if that could happen also with their other thoughts and their dreams and emotions. So I asked family members to keep a dream log of their dreams. Don't share them with each other because I didn't want that to get contaminated. Just share them and just sort of, you know, amuse me, help me by curiosity, whatever. But just I was very interested in doing it. And I noticed after a few dozen families did this that there were indeed intense correspondences between images and ideas within the family expressed in their dreams. So I said, well, there's something here. There's really something here. So I started, and I started collecting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of family dreams in different contexts, fragments of family dreams, and sometimes three or four members of the same family sharing their dreams with me. And out of that, I was able to sort of catalog them in different degrees of correspondence, from the only faintest connection in family dreams to really explicit shared imagery and events and associations and in dreams. And out of that came the Family Dreams Research Project, which I did for several decades in the U.S. And eventually I wrote this book about it all called The Dream Life of Families. And it is about how families share emotions, just like they share shared family events, but they also sometimes share similar and sometimes strikingly similar dream dynamics, dream processes, dream images. And so that's what the book, essentially, The Dream Life of Family is about. So I combine my interest in dreams and also my interest in family therapy, and that's how this book came about.
I love it. You know, it's interesting because as a scientific professional, it must be fascinating to deal with something that there's some things that are hard to prove, hard to actually be able to say, how could this have happened here and there? And you really do bridge that gap, because that dream world you are tapping into, one part of your book, you talked about it, you're tapping into a black hole, or sometimes you run up against other people, which I just find so fascinating. I have so many more questions for you, but we're going to just take a quick break.
Sure.
When we come back, we're going to be talking more with my guest, dream expert, Edward Bruce Bynum, author of The Dream Life of Families. You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. We'll be right back.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in the sky.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com. Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why can't my dream come true? Oh, why?
Welcome back to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. I'm Eve, the MBA psychic from Elite Tarot, with my guest, Edward Bruce Bynum, author of his newest book called The Dream Life of Families. Soon, later on in the show, I'll be doing a one-card tarot card reading with Dr. Bynum offering his perspective on the situation. If you're interested in a reading, give us a call, particularly if that's dealing with dreams. So before we get back to talking, I just want to also let you know that if you're interested in getting more information about Dr. Bynum's book, you can go to the Amazon and his author page and go to amazon.com/ and the author Edward Bruce Bynum, and that's B-Y-N-U-M as in Mary. So before the break, we were just getting into this whole journey in terms of writing this book, but I'm also wondering if we could just kind of start with some basics. What are dreams? What happens when we're dreaming?
Well, every 90 minutes, our brain actually wants to try to dream. You know, if you notice, you can be in the middle of the day doing your thing, and then every hour and a half or so, you get a little dip in energy. And that's your brain actually trying to go into a little dream state. But usually, you know, we resist that, and we hold that off until the nighttime. At the nighttime, when the train comes through, that every 90 minutes or so, we jump on the train and we go to sleep. So our brain is literally hardwired to go into to dream states. And actually, not only human beings, but all mammals, dogs, cats, dolphins, whales, we all dream. It's a mammalian thing. It has something to do with the deep rhythms of the brain and the nervous system. And as human beings, it appears to us as a dream, a little movie, a little internal narrative. But it's all of our different emotions are aroused in dreams. Many of our sensory experiences, but not all of them, are aroused in dreams. And then the memories from the last 3 or 4 days are collected, and they're turned into symbols, and then they're condensed, and then you come out with a story, a little movie. And it's usually a very emotional movie. Now, sometimes dreams can be really mundane. It's just about stuff that happened during the day, and nothing seems to be too intense. But sometimes dreams are incredibly, as you know, intense, and sometimes they're extremely emotionally meaningful, and periodically they're actually they contain information that we did not know consciously ahead of time. Sometimes information going on between other people in our family. And that makes sense. I mean, what is the most intense cauldron, the setting that we learn our early emotions that follow us through life in our family context? Most of our deep emotions are about family members, for better or for worse. They're about we learn our emotions, anger, fear, love, hate, disgust, attraction, dependence, all of those feelings we learn in the family context. And then we take that template of feelings with us out into the rest of the world. And if you look at it, sometimes with your partner or with your boss, they'll stimulate feelings that, you know, this reminds me of my mother or my father or whatever it might be in one way or another, for better or for worse. So that's the place. And the clinical studies, which is, I think, fascinating, show that around anywhere from 15 to 25% of our nightly dreams have something to do with our families. They have something to do with our families. Some context, a family member shows up, or there's a story about our family line in there, somewhere like that. So, you know, one out of four dreams is somehow connected often with family circumstances. So it's not unusual to make that simple observation, that our dream life and our family life, they cross over, they intersect multiple times. And if we have literally thousands of hours of dreams in our lifetime, well, you can bet your life that a significant percentage of that time we're dreaming about family members in intimate context. Not rational, but deeply emotionally true.
And sometimes those connections with family, they could be about the person dreaming, but it could be just separate, just something to do with the other family member. And
exactly,
then I
exactly.
Yeah, and then I also would then extend that over to, how do you explain with the family member who's passed and those coming, that image and that message and that feeling coming into the dream?
Well, you know, it would be difficult to, quote, explain it, unquote. We can't really totally explain it. We just know that it happens, a lot. We understand the conditions under which it's much more likely to occur and what the emotional meaning of it is. But how to explain those changes, those juxtapositions in space and in time, we don't really understand that. And in the book, The Dream Life of Families, I state that we don't understand it. My job was not necessarily to understand it, but to put it out there so that you could recognize it, so you could see it, so that you could even predict it sometimes. But the emotional meaning of it, that's easier, because that's like, it tells you exactly. And sometimes our feelings about our family members coming out in our dreams are so intimate and so close that we keep it to ourselves, because it's kind of like very, very, very private. We don't tell everybody, sometimes even our most intimate people, exactly everything that we're thinking about them. But our dreams tell us what we think about them and what we think about ourselves. And it's often sometimes embarrassing, you know. It can be something wonderful, but sometimes it can be very intimate and something that we kind of feel, you know.
It's all about, it all brings all the truth to, oddly enough, to light.
Yes,
except
it does.
This time it's in the night. It's in the darkness of the unconscious and of the mind.
Well, you know, most of the mind is unconscious. And it has to be. We can't be conscious of everything. If you do, you'll be frozen. You couldn't move around. No, you have to keep most things unconscious.
And it's also challenging to understand what being conscious is, because if in the time when you're dreaming, all these real truths are coming to light, in a sense that is your consciousness.
Yes,
and
it is.
Yet we label it the unconscious.
Well, that was a trick, a useful procedure that Freud did. And he did that so, along with Carl Jung and some others, so that they could understand it, because if you don't put some boundaries around it, you're immersed in it. You're swimming in it. It's like our ancestors of thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. They did not make that much of a separation between their waking state and their dreaming state. They were just immersed in the reality of being alive. So what they dreamed at night was just as likely to occur as during the day. To them, there wasn't any separation. And in young children, they don't make that much of a separation either. It's just as we get older, more mature, hopefully, and as we progress in a civilization, we differentiate the waking state reality from the dreaming state reality. And unfortunately for us in the West, we often have put down the dreaming state reality because it's not as rational as the waking state reality. But the truth be known, sometimes dreams are more intelligent than the waking state. Many great artists and many great scientists have gotten their insights and their discoveries from dreams. Yeah,
I believe it. And I always kind of talk to my clients about not being afraid of it, but rather looking at it as a developing your own language. Like, yeah. For example, I know in my dreams, if there's a message or something I need to do or remember, in my dream, I will tell someone else, someone close to me, the dream that I just had, even though I'm still dreaming. And sometimes I'll even tell more than one person, and then I'll wake up and I will have honestly thought that I actually told this person my dream, but it was me telling this dream to myself, but while I'm dreaming.
That's
another
right.
thing is that I also, when I have dreams that take place where I'm looking at a scene unfolding on the through a window, I've come to recognize that that's almost like a language of saying, this has nothing to do with you. This is about someone external and someone sharing their information. And so once you can get past the weird feelings dreams can kind of bring up.
Yes, it does. And that actually, if you know, when you mentioned that, you know, when you're looking through a window and you could train yourself to, that mm-hmm. would be a cue for you to wake up while you're still dreaming and then learn how to control your dream. Yes, you could.
And no,
that's a very interesting phenomenon, because then you could, like, study your consciousness from a totally different angle. And that is a very, very, very awakening kind of experience.
I love it. Oh, gosh. When we come back, and we're going to take another break, but when we come back, we're definitely going to be getting to readings later on, but I really want to talk about something that I'm constantly having people coming into my office talking about, are those scary dreams, particularly from family members, which I always say, don't label it as scary or negative, but I would love to get your take on nightmares and all of that. We're going to take another break. You are listening to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio with my guest, clinical psychologist and author Edward Bruce Bynum, author of The Dream Life of Families, The Psycho-Spiritual Connection. We'll be right back.
Plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Did you know what you learned in school was wrong, and there is actually a fourth phase of water beyond liquid, vapor, and ice? I know. I too was shocked when I learned this. What makes this new discovery so exciting? In scientific terms, this cutting-edge research explains the energetic potency of water. In practical terms, this missing link of water is now breaking open the floodgates for us to have a more complete understanding of our health, our weather, and the physics of our world. Join researcher, award-winning presenter, and author Professor Gerald Pollack of the University of Washington as he shares new scientific insights about how this fourth phase of water, the sun's energy, and geomagnetism affect our planet and how this affects you at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Saturday, August 5th at 7 p.m. For more information or to register, go to eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
Of a fairy tale, you can take the future, even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good in every...
Welcome back to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. I'm Eve, the MBA psychic from Elite Tarot. You can learn more about me, schedule a reading, or inquire about readings for an upcoming event you're hosting at elitetarot.com or mainstreammetaphysicsradio.com. If you are just tuning in, please listen to the first half because I am here talking with my guest, dream expert, clinical psychologist, and author Edward Bruce Bynum, author of The Dream Life of Families, The Psycho-Spiritual Connection. You can definitely check out this book on Amazon. You can just look it up there, Amazon/Edward Bruce Bynum. Bynum is spelled B-Y-N-U-M. I'm going to be getting to calls in just a little bit, but before that, one thing that I really wanted to ask you about are nightmares, because so often people will come in and say they're getting, you know, a parent who has passed over and is coming in scary form, or just nightmare kind of feelings and connected with family. What are these nightmares, and are they negative, are they bad, or is it just energy?
Well, first of all, just the nightmares. Nightmares are those kind of dreams that we have that are so scary, they're so arousing that they oftentimes wake us up. You know, we can have a vivid, intense dream, and a dream that's a little strange, but it doesn't wake us up. A nightmare is unsettling and anxiety-provoking enough for us to wake up out of the state because we're so frightened by it. That's technically, clinically, a nightmare. And they can be about anything. They can be about family members that you mentioned sometimes, or they can be about a horrific situation that you're dealing with in a relationship, or they can be, you know, pursued by something unpleasant. I mean, a nightmare, the content can be anything. The thing about a nightmare is that it's frightening enough to wake you up. And that's what defines a nightmare. And they can be about anything. Those nightmares, however, that are about family members who've, like, passed on, they can be scary, but they don't have to be scary. an important fact, if you have a certain open-mindedness about things or a certain frame, you can see those as what the clinical literature calls visitation dreams. Now, a visitation dream is when a family member, an ancestor usually who's passed on from this life, comes back and visits you through the portal of your dreams to make some sort of communication. And in most of the world, you know, most of the cultures of the world, they actually sought out those ancestral visitation dreams because the ancestors were thought to be wise. They were thought to have knowledge of this world and the next world. And so people would listen eagerly to have a dream from an ancestor. So it wasn't a frightening thing at all for them. They were like, it was a sign of hope and expectation that, you know, after the drama of physical life, the psychic life continues. And in point of fact, the deep unconscious of all of us believes that. It doesn't assume that the end of life is the end of our physical life. But the psychic world, the psychological world, does not believe that. And in point of fact, if you push them, if you really push them a little bit, neither does the medical community. By that I mean this. When we're the beginning of life outside of our womb, mother's womb, and the end of life are not the same as when we physically die. In other words, we are alive, and in point of fact, we are even having some kind of conscious experience before we're born. You know, you just don't go to the hospital or wherever you're born, become born, all of a sudden you become conscious. Boom. No. You are conscious for some period of time, we don't know how long, before you were actually physically born, probably several months. You're having dreams in your mother's womb. And also, we know from hospital studies of people who've experienced clinical death that the body and sometimes the brain can be physically dead, but the psychic principle continues because people are sometimes brought back from the clinical death by surgical or unusual procedures. You know, the heart gets re-stimulated or so on. And people have what's called NDEs or near-death experiences. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that even after you are clinically dead for some period of time, and sometimes it's been for a long time, several minutes, if not longer, people are brought back from the dead and they have a conscious experience of that. They have a near-death experience. And so the beginning of life outside the mother's womb and your physical death are not the beginning and ending of your consciousness. We don't know when it begins and we don't know when it ends. And that's a medical reality, folks. That's a medical reality. So
it is.
Go
ahead.
Reality.
It's sort of the namesake of our show, Mainstream Metaphysics, in that there are so many things that we just don't fully understand, but that intertwine.
Oh my gosh,
it is just fascinating. You know, Manny, I think we're going to skip this break because there's so much to still talk about, and I do want to get to our caller, and then we'll talk some more. But before we get to calls, I just want to let people know I have a candle on, which is my signal to open a session, and I'll be doing a one-card reading today. After that, if Dr. Bynum has anything that he would like to add, he can, particularly from a dream perspective. Now, normally, I always say that before we begin readings, I can only speak for myself this time and say that I am not a doctor, lawyer, or therapist, or realtor, and that a reading should never be taken as a substitute for seeking guidance from a licensed professional. Let's just get to our first caller, Francis. Francis, welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio.
Thank you. Hi, Eve.
Hi. So good to talk with you. Is there anything that you have a question about?
Yeah. I'd like to get a reading just on general family and decisions that I have to make around family.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we only have power over ourselves, but what I can do is look at what you're putting forth towards family, and I have a feeling you might want to take a look at the dreams too, but okay. Let me first tell you what I've pulled. The card that I pulled for you is the Six of Wands, and this is a super strong card because wands talk about feeling inspired and creativity. Now here, there's almost a feeling of you kind of going in one direction and others around you sort of being stagnant and not necessarily following in the same path, because you have five people holding wands looking in one direction, and then the main center person, you, is there with a wreath of victory with holding a wand as the person's heading forward. So kind of in perpendicular direction. This can often be kind of a conflict because you're going one way, other people are suggesting somewhere else. And all I can recommend to say is that your journey is completely unique. And so it's going to look like that of no one else on this planet. While it is always good to get advice and guidance from the family and to really listen if perhaps there are some core messages coming in, ultimately only you can live out your journey. And some people may not appreciate it, understand it, but it's yours. And so if you compare yourself to their journey, then you may get detoured into something that's inauthentic to you. But from this perspective, it's going straight forward and you're doing fantastic because this is such a great card of strength. Family's always there, but it's one where you don't necessarily have to alter your course, but and to have that family unit. Does that make sense? Am I a crazy person? Is that
absolutely? No, you're not crazy. That makes absolute sense. Yeah.
Excellent. Dr. Bynum, you know, here is Francis with just questions about kind of dealing with family. And it's interesting because we're talking about the dream life of family. If you're having issues with family or trying to incorporate family, is there ways that you can actively kind of use dreams to help move that forward?
Well, one of the best and easiest and simplest ways of using that is tell your family members that sometimes you dream about them. And that you find their dreams about them very, very interesting. And you might even share one or two that are not particularly too arousing or too engaging, but just sort of like pleasant dreams. And then they're much more likely to then tell you about their dreams that they have, either about the family or about the world in general. And the next thing you know, people are sharing the intimate emotional experiences they're having with their dreams. And that is a form of communication. It's like a couple that finds a new way to dialogue, to engage with each other. They talk about their dreams, or they become involved in certain kinds of activities, like they all of a sudden find that they both really love going to certain kind of plays or movies or art events or any other kind of thing like that. It opens up communication on deeper and deeper levels. And the more communication you have, the much more likely you are to resolve conflicts or to accept and recognize those conflicts, but recognize that there's a greater web that unites us than the different conflicts that separate us. And that in and of itself is valuable.
Interesting. Oh. Very good. Awesome.
I love that. Francis, I hope that's been helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I've been really enjoying this podcast or the radio show, on dreams, because I've been having some very vivid dreams lately, and I didn't know if I should go with them to make my decision or to go against them, since it was something that was out of character for myself. But I like the way your guest has actually positioned it, because it makes it a little easier for me to communicate with other people. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thanks so much for calling. You know, I love to find out more about, you know, here she was getting information from her dreams. And, you know, you talk about how sometimes dreams can be information. Can dreams tell us if we need to see a doctor? Because I know people are always, you know, concerned about, have health concerns.
Sure.
What would dreams tell us?
Well, there's a certain kind of dream, and the clinical literature is called a prodromal dream. What it is, it's a dream that picks up on the feelings within the body of illness before the conscious mind is aware of it. It's called prodromal dreaming. And sometimes you'll dream that, you know, there's a contraction, say, around your heart, and your heart is being torn in different directions. Well, that can be symbolic expression of having strong emotions pulling you in a conflict, or it can also be, in certain prodromal dreams, an indication that you're about to have a cardiac infraction and that you need to do something about it. So those are called prodromal dreams, where the body, which is largely unconscious, picks up on a physical illness that is not yet manifested to the conscious mind yet. And so it becomes something that you have to attend to. At the very least, tell somebody else about it, and if it persists, check it out. You know, sometimes we can be ill, but we don't have any underlying, we can feel ill, but not have any underlying disease process going on. And then sometimes we can have a disease, but have no emotional, physical symptoms. Like, take high blood pressure. High blood pressure can be understood as a disease, but you don't feel ill. You don't feel anything. You just have high blood pressure. But it can become a problem later down the road, and a very, very serious problem. Or sometimes we can feel ill, emotionally ill, but there, fortunately, is nothing physically wrong with us. So just because we are ill does not mean that there's not something going on. It's best to sort of check it out, and the more you become conversant with the language, the specific language of your own dreams, different people have different associations to the images in their dreams, so you have to be very specific about your language of your dreams. But if you learn the language of your own dreams, then your dreams can talk to you about what's going on with you emotionally, physically, and in terms of your body, your mind, and also in terms of your intimate family relationships, better or for worse. You know, most of the body is unconscious, and most of the mind is unconscious, but those two levels of the unconscious do communicate with each other.
But then it seems kind of like, I feel kind of embarrassed to go to my doctor and say, I'm feeling great. Do I say, but I had a dream that I'm having this? I'm afraid my doctor's going to laugh at me. But is that the way I would approach it?
Well, the best way to approach something like that is that, you know, you go to see her, and you say, I've been feeling ill or wondering about it, and I've heard that there are prodromal dreams where people, their body sort of tells them what they've been has happened, that something is going to happen. And they'll probably say, well, that's most of the time that's not true. And fortunately, most of the time it isn't true. But unfortunately, it is true some of the times. And if your doctor has an open mind, she will just check you out very quickly and dismiss it.
Hopefully. So hit him with the science.
Yeah, I heard about this thing called prodromal dreams. Do you know anything about it?
Right.
And that way, you know, they realize that you're not just coming out of left field, but that there's some reason and some thoughtfulness has gone into your question. So even if they disagree with you, and hopefully they do disagree with you, because who wants to hear bad news, but at least they will know that it's coming from a thoughtful place, you know?
Yeah, and I guess it's, as you said, it's getting to know your dreams, because so many people will dream about, like, losing a tooth or, you know, those kind of things, which we know are not necessarily you have to go to the dentist. And so it's getting familiar with your dream language, which
getting
is different for every
your, exactly.
person.
Exactly. Getting familiar with your dream language. You know, in the different trimesters of pregnancy that the woman goes through during the gestation process, each one of those periods has a different physiological and hormonal influence on her body, obviously. Well, researchers have found that influence is also the kind of dreams that she will have, the kind of images and symbols that show up in her dreams, because it's a biological phenomenon in addition to an emotional, psychological phenomenon. And her partner, depending on the trimester, their dreams are also influenced by the whole family process that they're going through. Each trimester will stimulate different images and ideas because of the obviousness of the pregnancy and so forth. And, then, you know, I spent some time in the dream life of family sort of cataloging and looking at that. In addition to those dreams about telepathy that happens and precognition and ancestral visitations. You know, but most of our dreams are not those. Most of our dreams are you know, about everyday life, things that have happened in the last 3 or 4 days, and also things that we have been concerned about for many, many years. And they come together in our dreams. They're turned again into symbols. They're condensed. And then there's a little movie about it that we create in our mind. We all become great writers when we're dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's so fascinating because I imagine when somebody is very pregnant, then you have two energies that are sharing a physical space. And I know in tarot, while I've done lots of readings on women who are pregnant, I recently did a reading for someone who could have given birth at any moment. And it was fascinating because the first part of the reading, I was clearly tapped into that person. The second part of the reading, it was as if a different person pulled those cards. And we both kind of looked at each other because it was like, and I said, this is not you. I don't know what's going on. And it was almost, and I later said to her, I think we need to wait until after you give birth and then do a new reading. So I wonder, when a person is in that final trimester, could they be picking up on the baby's dreams and assuming they're...
Yes. Oh, yeah. emphatically, yes, because you're right. They're in the same biology. They're in the same body. There's a symbiosis of body and mind going on there. That's why the overwhelming majority of dreams that are psychic in nature, either crisis, telepathy, or precognitive dreams that occur, they occur in families, and the most common bonding is between mother and offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Less so about father and offspring, and more so about mother and offspring, because they share that early symbiosis that's physical and psychological. And, in quantum mechanics, there is this principle, primary principle, that things at one time connected to each other, even when later when they're separated by great distances, will maintain the connection. It's called non-locality. It's one of the founding principles of modern physics. Well, the same thing applies to our psychic life in many ways, too.
But, yeah, and I hear that, although I would just to... counter that, I would think that some people, when perhaps their mother has departed, they'll say, "I'm not seeing them in my dreams," and that shouldn't be a symbol that they're not there, that you're not getting those messages either.
Well, a lot of that is culture bound because here in the United States and in many parts of Europe, we don't pay attention to our ancestors. We mm-hmm. don't. Whereas in other parts of the world, certainly South America, Africa. Middle East, Southeast Asia, where people are much more aware of family influences, they're much more open to the idea, to the reality of that. And so, therefore, their ancestors who recently departed are much more likely to show up in their dreams because they're open to it. They don't repress it. Here in the Western part of the world, unfortunately, a large percentage of us just sort of put that out of our minds. We repress it. They're gone. Mm-hmm. That's the end of that. Whereas in other parts of the world, they're very open to their ancestors, and as a result of that, they're able to have those kind of experiences. So they're still there. It's just that when you are open to it, it's much more likely to be observed than otherwise.
Wow. Yeah. I could talk to you for all day because this is such, you explain things so well, and it's such an interesting topic that affects all of us. We just have about a minute left before we close the show. What is next for you, Dr. Bynum, on your journey?
What I've become interested in and what I've mentioned at the Dream Life of Families is I'm very interested in deep, long ancestral dreams, and there's been a lot of research done in certain medical schools about family members who passed on, but somehow we have their memories come back to us, and that's an area of interest and fascination for me. And a great psychiatrist who recently passed on himself did decades and decades of world traveling research on the phenomenon that we call reincarnation.
Mm.
And that's just another phrase for memories that are disconnected to us, but that we somehow are able to recover. And it's usually children who recover those memories. And we don't know how that happens. We only know that it happens often, and the memories are very often correct. And that's
wow.
an area of interesting.
I hope you will come back and talk about this, because as you delve more into it, because it was such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for being on today.
I enjoyed it, and I hope that your listeners found it useful for them in their lives, too.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I know I certainly did. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our dream show on Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Thank you, Benny, for running the show, and thank you, one and all, for tuning in. This is such a blessing for me to be able to do this show each week, and I look forward to doing next week's show. Again, many thanks to my guest, Dr. Edward Bruce Bynum. His book is The Dream Life of Families. Please join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. With peace and love and gratitude, see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio with your host, Eve. Join us Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com to harness the power of the universe for optimal success and happiness as Eve continues to take metaphysics mainstream. Until then, learn more about Eve and Elite Tarot at EliteTarot.com. That's EliteTarot.com. See you next week.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.